Right, read now from Luke chapter 12. We've been trying to study for the past several weeks about the fact that we are not to fear men and we're not to be afraid of not having the necessities of life. We're not to be afraid. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Perfect love casteth out fear. And God tells His obedient children, and I emphasize that because if we're not trying to serve the Lord, we have every reason to fear. But if we're trying to walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, if we're trying to be what God would have us to be, God tells us, fear not. Look now at Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 29. Luke 12, beginning in verse 29, Jesus here is speaking to His disciples, and He says, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye first." That's not the way it's read here. In Matthew it says that. Here it says, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things," that's the necessities of life, "and all these things shall be added unto you." What does He say that we're to seek? Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We're to seek the kingdom of God, and then all the necessities of life will be added. Now listen to verse 32. Verse 32, Jesus says, "Fear not." What are the next two words there? "Little flock." Fear not, little flock. "For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." First of all, I want you to all know and understand that these are not words to the whole world. These are not even words to all the family of God. The family of God, those that will be in the eternal heaven, is not a little flock. Do you hear what Jesus says there? He says, "Fear not, little flock." The number that will be in the eternal heaven are as the sands of the seashore and as the stars of heaven. They're as the dust of the earth. It's an innumerable company of people, so great that no man can number out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe. It is not a little flock that will be in the eternal heaven. However, it is a little flock that is blessed to enter the kingdom of heaven while they live here in this world. Does everybody understand the difference in the number that will be in the eternal heaven versus those that will be in the kingdom of heaven here on this earth? And God says to those that are in the kingdom of heaven, He says, "Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I believe with all of my heart, listen carefully, we're trying to study about fear and not fearing. And I believe that as the people of God, that we are often afraid of the things we're not supposed to be afraid of. And in the same breath, I would tell you that there are things that God says we are to fear that we often are not afraid of. So we get things backwards sometimes in our lives. Sometimes we're afraid and we're worrying about the things that God has specifically said in His Word. Don't worry about those things. And sometimes we're not afraid of the things that God tells us that we should fear. The Word of God says that we're not to fear men that are able to kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but we're to fear Him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Brethren, God is to be feared. The Bible tells us that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. We need to know there are things to fear, and above everything else, we are to fear God and keep His commandments, but we are not to be fearful of the things here in this world. Now, go with me in your Bibles back to Matthew chapter 4. I want us this morning to look primarily at the fact that if we are going to follow Jesus Christ, if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, then we need to know that we're going to face things that would normally cause you to be afraid. If you are going to follow Christ, you're going to face things in your life that without God's help, you will be afraid. This idea that you walk down the aisle and join the church and everything's a bed of roses after that, that's a lie from the devil. When you begin to take up your cross and follow Christ, you're going to suffer persecution and afflictions like you have never experienced before. But the wonderful blessing is that God will be with you and God will help you no matter what you go through in your life. So serving God is going to result in changes in your life that sometimes you're going to feel afraid. In fact, I want to give you this verse lest I forget it later. I want to close with this verse, but I've got to go ahead and tell you now. There's a verse in Psalm 56 and verse 3. I want you to write it down. I want you to memorize it. I want you to have it on your mirror at home. I want you to have it on your bathroom vanity mirror. I want you to have it on your car mirror. I want you to have it on your windshield. I want you to have it all around your house. I want you to write these words down, and I want you to remember what Psalm 56 and verse 3 says. Psalm 56 and verse 3 says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." Do you hear the words there? Does that tell you that David, that there were times he was afraid? This idea that you're never going to be afraid, brethren, it's just not true. Things can happen in your life in a moment that will cause tremendous fear in your heart and your life. It doesn't take but a moment for you to all of a sudden become very much afraid. You can melt down and you can fall down in fear. You can have such great fear that your knees shake. That's one of the expressions about a man in the Bible, that he was so afraid that his knees were shaking. And what is it that causes that kind of fear? Well, there are all kinds of things that cause that great degree of fear. And yet God says, now don't be afraid. And yet sometimes we are afraid. How many of you have ever been afraid? Well, let me just reverse that. How many of you have never been afraid? If you've never been afraid, either you're lying or you don't know much about your life. There's nobody so big, there's nobody so powerful, there's nobody so strong, there's nobody so rich, there's nobody so smart, there's nobody that has never been afraid in this world. Sometimes you're going to get afraid. What do you do when you get afraid? What are you supposed to do? Well, what's the first thing he says? First thing he says is what? Fear not, right? First thing he says is don't be afraid. But we know that sometimes we are afraid. So what are you supposed to do when you are afraid? What does Psalm 56 verse 3 say? What time I am afraid, that is when I get afraid, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. That is trust in the Lord. I want you to remember every time you get afraid, I want you to remember what that verse says and run to God. Run to Him. Get close to Him. Call upon Him. I want you to have it emblazoned on your mind and heart that every time you're afraid, God's told you what to do when you get afraid. What time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Now, being a disciple of Jesus Christ, listen carefully, look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 4. We began with Luke chapter 12 and verse 32 where the Word of God says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." There are few. There's only a little flock. There are only few of God's sheep that enter the kingdom of heaven. There are only a few of God's sheep that enter the kingdom of heaven because entering the kingdom of heaven is based upon you doing what God's Word tells you to do. And so few of God's children are trying to serve the Lord. But if you're trying to serve the Lord, and this does not mean you're absolutely perfect, you'll never reach absolute perfection, but if you're putting God first in your life, if God is really first in your life, then you're part of that what? Little flock. You're part of that little flock. What does God say to you if you're really putting God first in your life? What does God say to you? He says, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know what you have if you have the kingdom? What is the kingdom? Give me a definition. What does the Bible say this kingdom of heaven is? The Bible says in Romans 14:17 that the kingdom of heaven is, or kingdom of God, is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, and it is peace, and it is joy in the Holy Ghost. Have you ever felt righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost? Have you ever felt God with you? Have you ever felt the peace of God that passeth all understanding? Have you ever felt your soul, your cup, overflow with joy? Have you ever been so close to God that you felt like you could almost feel the presence of God in a mighty way? Now listen, brethren, when you feel that, you're in the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven is in you. Now, look at Matthew 4, verse 17. Matthew 4, verse 17. Let me ask you another question. If you're in the kingdom of heaven, are you afraid? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you're in the kingdom of heaven, you're not afraid. Because if you're in the kingdom of heaven, you feel the presence of God. And when you feel the presence of God, there is no fear. When you're strong in faith, listen, brethren, faith drives fear away. Every time I'm afraid, if I exercise my faith and lift up my eyes to Jesus and I call upon the name of the Lord, I'm not afraid anymore. And so it is, what time I'm afraid, I need to run to Jesus every time. Get close to God and fear will be gone. Now look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Jesus began to preach. Matthew 4 and verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is, what are the last two words there? What does that mean, it's at hand? It means it's right here, it's right now. We're not talking about the eternal heaven where we go when this world is over here. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven that's at hand, that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost that we can have right now. He says, repent. Does Jesus tell you there's something you have to do to enter this kingdom of heaven? Repent. What does repent mean? Repent means to turn away from the things that are evil and wrong and turn toward God. It means that in your mind and heart and soul and in your life, that your feet and your actions, that in every way you turn away from evil and you turn toward God. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now when you begin to repent and you begin to walk toward God, will you then, when you obey God, will you sometimes be afraid when God tells you to do something? Will you sometimes be afraid? Well, listen, right after he says, heads are going both ways. Some are saying no. Well, let's see. Come down to verse 19. Let's see. Verse 19, and he said unto them, that is Jesus, let me read 18. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now when he told them to follow him, was he telling them to repent and to come and to follow him? You see that? Come to the next verse. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Brother Richard, if Jesus were to speak to you, he did to me one time. I had a good job, and he talked to me, and not out loud. But if Jesus were to come to you and say, you've got to leave your job in order to do what I'm calling you to do. Not saying he's telling you that. I'm saying if he were to tell you that, do you know there'd be something in your heart? A four-letter word. What is it? Fear. And this idea that you won't ever be afraid. Listen, brethren, you've never begun to follow Jesus if you haven't sometimes been afraid. It is frightening sometimes to do what God called you to do. The sacrifices that you have to make. putting God first in every way. Putting Him before, you remember how Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Right there, he wasn't afraid. Right here, whenever Jesus called him and said, follow me, be a disciple of Jesus. I think, well, the Bible doesn't say, so I'm not going to tell you what I think. But listen, brethren, Peter left everything and what? And followed Jesus. Did he put Jesus first in his life? Was Peter a disciple of Jesus right here? Don't tell me about his shortcomings. Not interested in that right now. I want you to know Peter left his vocation. Peter left his nets. Peter left his father. Peter left everything and followed Jesus. You know what it took for Peter to obey Jesus right here? It's a five-letter word. Tell me, Sister Danielle, what you think it is. Faith. That's right. Faith. It takes faith to do what Jesus says. If you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you're going to be called on by Jesus to do things that it will take tremendous faith to do what He's telling you to do. Does it take faith to take up your cross and follow Christ? Brother Jerry, when you joined the church, was that a hard thing for you to do? Yes, sir. Were there a lot of things that you had to leave? I don't know of anybody that was more like Abraham in a way than Brother Jerry. Brother Jerry's dad was a preacher and had different beliefs and understandings, and Brother Jerry went through a very difficult time because he just couldn't comprehend how God's Word could teach something so different than what... And his daddy was a great man of God, a wonderful man of God. Brother Jerry, just like Abraham, was called on to walk away and leave all those things. Brother Jerry walked away, and many of you, not exalting him above others of you, but I'm just saying that's an example of a man like Abraham. And all through the book of Hebrews, you read in Hebrews chapter 11 about great men of God, that God called them to do something that was important, something that God told them to do, and in every situation. You go to Hebrews chapter 11, and you'll find that God called Noah. What did God tell Noah to do? Build an ark. Brother Ken, God tells you to go over there and build an ark. Are you going to be a little afraid? If God tells you a flood is coming and you better build a big ark, are you going to be a little afraid? Why, sure, I would too. I'd be afraid for two reasons. Number one, I'd be afraid because there's a flood coming. And number two, it had never rained at that time. So you have to believe what God said. But he believed God and he was moved with fear. You understand what the Scripture says there in Hebrews 11:7? When God called Noah to go build that ark, the Bible says, and Noah moved with fear. What was he afraid of? What was he afraid of? Okay, I think he was afraid of God, and he was afraid of the flood, and he was afraid of what was going to come. But listen, brethren, Noah was not afraid of men. And he trusted in the Lord. If I had been Noah, one of the things I would have been afraid of, in addition to being afraid of God, I'd have been afraid of everybody saying what? What do you think everybody said about Noah? That's the nut man, that's right. That's the nut man. He's over there building that ark. He's a nut. He's crazy. Let me tell you something, brethren. If you follow Jesus Christ, you'll be called a nut. You'll be called a fanatic. You'll be called crazy. You'll be called a lot of things. You cannot follow Jesus. You cannot get close to Jesus. But what the world will think, you've lost your mind. I believe that with all my heart. It's no different today than it's been in all ages of the world. You cannot follow Jesus. But what the world will think, you've got some loose screws. And so it is when you start to be afraid, when you start to follow Jesus, when you start to be a disciple of Jesus, and He calls on you to do things, you need to pray that God will strengthen your faith so you won't be afraid, and you'll go forward, and you'll do what God is telling you to do. Because when you do what God's telling you to do, you're going to be a part of a what? Of a little what? A little flock. And what does Jesus say to His little flock, those disciples of Jesus that love Him so much that they do what He says? What does He say? Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So God called on Peter and Andrew, James and John, and all these apostles, and they were afraid to begin with, but then they went forward and did what God told them to do. Go forward to Matthew chapter 14. Look in your Bibles at Matthew 14. We're going to come a little further in the life of Peter. Now, did Peter walk by faith back there in Matthew 4? Do you think Peter walked by faith? Yes, sir. What does faith do to fear? Faith will drive fear away. Was Peter a man of courage? Did he have tremendous courage to do what he did back there in Matthew 4? He was a man of courage. Are there a lot of cowards today? Are there a lot of cowards? There are a lot of preachers that are pure cowards. They're spineless, yellow-bellied, lazy, sorry, good-for-nothing. They're not servants of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I fall into that category, brethren. When I'm not doing everything God tells me to do, when I'm not standing everywhere God tells me to stand, I'm being a coward. There is no room in God's army for cowards. We need men of God that are men of courage, men who walk by faith, men and women and boys and girls that love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and will do what God says, no matter what the rest of the world says. That their faith is so strong that fear is gone, and they're strong and of good courage because they feel the presence of God with them. Matthew chapter 14. Look now at Matthew 14, beginning in verse 25. Matthew 14, beginning in verse 25, the Word of God says, "And in the fourth watch of the night," it was dark, it was dark, "and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them." The apostles now are in a ship. The apostles are in a ship, and Jesus comes walking to them on water. Okay? It's night time. Verse 26 says, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled." You know what that means? They were afraid. They were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for what? Fear. They were afraid. Verse 27 says, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." What does he say? What does God say over and over in His Word? Fear not. Don't be afraid. It's me. I'm here. Verse 28, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come." Isn't that marvelous? Jesus said, "Come here. Come on. Come out of the ship." Verse 29 says, "And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Peter was literally walking on the water. You know what he was strong in right there? What was he strong in? What was strong? Faith. Was there any fear right there? There was no fear. Who was he looking to right there? Who was he depending upon? He was looking to Jesus. He was depending upon Jesus. His eyes were fixed on Jesus. And he was walking on the water. But how many... That's right, sister. She said he faltered. He sure did. When did he falter? Look at the next verse. Verse 30 says, But when he saw the wind boisterous... What was he looking at now? He was looking at the wind. You know what causes me to be afraid? Is when I'm looking at troubles and problems. When I begin to look at, listen, when I look at the presidential election and I look at all that could happen there, I'm afraid. But when I get my eyes off that, and I'm not telling you don't go vote, I'm telling you better get out and vote. But I am telling you that no matter who's elected president, we're in a terrible condition in our nation. And there's not a man that can fix it overnight. I don't know if it can be fixed, period. But I know that my God is able to take care of us no matter who is president of the United States. Don't you be trusting in some party or some man. You trust in the Lord. Don't you be looking at all the problems. Oh, if my retirement was wrapped up in the stock market, you know where what I would feel like right now? Brother Ken, what would I feel like? I'd be afraid. I'd be scared. Well, there it goes, right down the tube. It's just blowing away. There goes my retirement. There goes my security. You look at the government is failing. The economy is failing. What are you going to do? Look, keep looking at it. Keep looking at all of it. What will happen to you? You just keep watching it. What will happen to you? You'll be afraid. That's right. You'll be afraid. You just keep looking at that. You'll sink. You'll go down. You know what you better look at? You better look to God. The Bible says, ever looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Peter started looking at the waves and the wind that was boisterous, and he was afraid, and he began to sink. Verse 30 says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me! You know, so many people, when they hear the word save, what do they think about? Eternal salvation. Brethren, most of the time when the Bible's talking about salvation and being saved, it's not talking about being saved from eternal hell to the eternal heaven. When Peter cried out here, Lord, save me, he was not talking about I'm a dead alien sinner and I need to be saved because I know I'm fixing to die. He was saying, Jesus, don't let me die. Jesus, save me from drowning. That's what he was talking about. Lord, save me. I'm drowning. Have you ever felt like you were drowning? Have you ever felt like you were going down? You ever felt like you were being sucked under? Sometimes it's the cares and the riches and the pleasures and the problems of this world. Listen, brethren, if you're not careful, you'll drown. You'll drown in this world. Now, I'm not talking about a physical drowning where you go underwater. I'm talking about you'll drown with all the problems and troubles of life. But if you'll do what God says, if you'll put Him first, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, if you put God first in your life, you can be strong in faith. And no matter what happens in this world, no matter how big the storms get, no matter how big the battles are, you will overcome. You'll walk on water. Have any of you seen anybody in this congregation walk on some water in the past few weeks? Sister Michelle, you've seen somebody walking on water? Who have you seen walking on water? Amen. I've watched Sister Michelle Street walking on water. As big of troubles as anybody in this congregation has, she's got them, and she's walking on water. Oh, is she some super human person that has the ability to do something that you can't do? Listen, brethren, if you're putting God first in your life, you can walk on water too. If you're not putting God first in your life, God will send a storm and you will drown. And you can call on Him and you can say, Lord, save me, and He will not hear your prayers. If you don't believe that, you go home and read Proverbs chapter 1, 24 through 31, and you'll see clearly that God says, I'm going to send a whirlwind, and you're going to cry out to me, and I will not hear your prayers. In fact, He says, I will mock when your fear cometh as a whirlwind. But to God's children that fear Him and love Him and serve Him, He says, fear not, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to support you. I'm going to bless you. You hear that little sister over there? She said, He will too. You know how she knows that? Well, she knows her Bible, right? Is that the only reason she knows that? She knows that because she knows from experience a long life of troubles and problems, but God has been with her and helped her all along life's journey. She's part of that little flock. And all these dear little sheep down here, lambs down here, these dear saints of God, they're in their wheelchairs. They continue to look to Jesus. Doesn't matter that they don't have their homes. Doesn't matter if they've lost their possessions. Doesn't matter if their bank account is zero. Doesn't matter if they can't even walk. Their confidence is in God. And that's the reason they can walk on water. I didn't get to what I wanted to get to this morning. In fact, I don't know that I'll ever get to what all I want to get to. There's a lot in God's Word that we need to learn. Right now, today, I hope that you'll learn and remember. What's the one? There's two verses I want you to write down and remember. One of them is What's the first scripture I tried to read to you? That was the first one I emphasized. I emphasized Psalm 56:3. I want you to remember what time I am afraid. I want your children that when they get afraid, I want them to automatically say, okay, now I know what to do. I know what to do. I'm afraid, but I know what to do. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in the Lord. Every time you get afraid, trust in the Lord. Second thing I want you to remember is the text from Luke 12:32, where Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. May God help us to not be afraid of men and the things of this world and society, but may God help us to fear Him and serve Him is my prayer for Christ's sake.